sovereign Lord reigning. Tonight, reign in me, O Lord, grant it, Father. Sovereign Lord, reign in me. Reign in me. Sovereign Lord, reign in me. Again, this again. Captivate my heart, let your kingdom come, establish there your throne, let your will be done. Just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we indeed desire that, Lord, with all of our hearts. Oh God, we're just coming, Lord, we're just so thankful, first of all, of your presence. I just really sensed it coming in tonight, Father, just that quality. Lord, your children are hungry, Father. And Lord, we're just coming into this sanctuary, this part that was set aside, dedicated for this very purpose, Lord, that we can meet with you. So as it is, Lord, we're on holy ground tonight. You said wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, there you would be right there in their midst, Father. And so, Lord, we're so thankful for that, and there's not one doubt in our hearts. But that's a truth, Lord, a real fact, Father. And so we come with anticipation, knowing, Lord, that whatever we have need of, Father, you said that you would meet us there. You said that all things would be done according to your perfect will, and we're grateful for that, Father. Lord, our eyes are on you, so help us tonight, we pray. Grant it. Father, we ask this in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Lily, it's nice to hear your cello. Amen. And all you brothers, you saints, appreciate your gifts. And I want to thank each one. I thank the Lord for the body of Jesus Christ. I thank the Lord for this body. Amen. You know, and knowing that the Lord who made each and every one of us, and he gave each and every one of us a gift. Right. And the gift that he's given to each one is for the edification of the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, and I get thrilled, you know, when I see it. I get thrilled when I see the gifts of God, you know, when they're in operation. You know, and I thank the Lord for even the technical gifts that God gives us here to resurrect a broken sound system, you know, and put something in place. How does that happen, you know? Billing a wire and bubble gum, whatever. But here we are, and you can all hear me fine. I take it sounds like I'm heard. There's no buzzing. So we thank the Lord for that. Amen. And of course, they're in the process of replacing, putting something in place that's more durable. So just keep praying for them. I got the utmost confidence. We've got godly men that are seeking the mind and will of God. And they've got only one motive, and that is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to elevate the Lord. And so, amen, just keep praying for him. Pray the Lord would just make his provision known in that area. Amen. And if I can just adventure a little further, if I may, I just get thrilled when I hear behind the scenes, you know, what things are going on. I was talking to Brother Tom, and he says, yeah, so-and-so came over. He says, they did? Yeah, you know, Brother Andy, Sister Linnell, Brother Jesse, I'm going to forget somebody here, but a number of you have gone, and he, of course, he lives in that home down there in Hastings, and to hear that you go out of your way and take time to go out and see him, nobody's prompting you or whatever, you're just doing it from the goodness of your heart, and it just thrills me to hear things like that. And so, God bless you. Anything that you do, you know, for one another, it does not go by unrewarded. And to me, that's just the body of Jesus Christ in action. I believe the Lord is very pleased when such things as that take place. And there's a lot of other things behind the scenes that we don't even know about. But God knows. Amen? God knows. Yes. Yes. I'm so grateful for that. Amen. So, Brother Don, Sister Mary, of course, they are down south. They're in South Carolina. They're visiting Jason and Amy. So let's keep them in prayer. They took off yesterday, and I think they're going to come back a week from this Thursday, or is it Wednesday? Thursday. They're going to be coming back. So just pray for safe travels for them. Amen. If we would, if you got your Bibles, if you would turn to Colossians chapter 1, we're going to read 1 verse 16. Let's back up to 15. Colossians 1:15. Who is the image of the invisible God? Of course, that's speaking of Jesus, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by him and for him. Let's stop right there. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Lord, of course, we're going to delve into more of it, Father. We just pray truly that you just break to us the bread of life. This we ask in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. If you want to, you can turn to Psalm 27:1. And all things by him and for him. Psalm 27:1 states this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Put yourself there, and I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. Just pause a little bit. If you can just think of David who wrote this psalm, he knows what it's like to have an army rise up against you. And it's for you that they're looking for. I mean, this is a tremendous statement that he's saying right here. You know, having that threat right there to take, I might say existential, but I'm sorry for that word. It's a very real threat, very present threat, and it was right there, ready to take his life. And he said, I shall not fear. Now that's speaking from Revelation. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Now, Brother Branham took scriptures here, and he preached the rapture message. Okay? And the rapture is when the bride of Jesus Christ is caught away to the bridegroom. And she's going to be translated, if you would, from this dimension into that dimension there. And the thing of it is though it is an instantaneous thing, it's progressive. And what it is progressive is that there is an invisible union that goes on right now. It's an invisible union of the heavenly bridegroom and earthly bride. Okay? Now I hope these things don't become common to us. We're bringing them out again and again and again. And the reason that is because we have to walk into it. This has got to be more than just something that's intellectual, but it has to be a reality that comes down into our very innermost being. Amen? That we are becoming one with the bridegroom. And in that place, we have nothing to fear. He is our safety. He is our sanctuary. He is our pavilion. He is the rock that was cleft for us. Amen? And 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith. So it is something then that we don't see with our natural eyes, but we've got spiritual eyes. And we know that faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. It is substantive. Real faith is substance faith. And if you lack that, the Lord will give it to us. Whatever we have need in this journey, the Lord will provide. It's not for us to get the clothing on. It's the bridegroom that is dressing the bride. It's up to him to see to it that she has everything that she needs for the journey. So then our faith then isn't in our self. It isn't in our righteousness. It isn't anything in our flesh. It's totally in what he has already done, what he's already provided for you. Fear not, little bride. Okay, now it's interesting to note that the fearful shall be cast into the lake of fire. That's a fearful thing, right? But you got to understand that in Christ there is no fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. If you understood how much it was that the Lord loves you and how much he made that way, it is so perfect, it is so strong, it is so sure, there's no way you can miss it. Okay? You put your faith unabashedly in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in your ability to keep commandments. Okay? He'll give you that ability. It's not your ability, not the strength of your flesh, it's his flesh. Paul says, he said, I don't live by my faith, right? I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by his faith. So that takes it away from us and it puts it back on the Lord Jesus. So it's where we got to keep the focus on. Who are we keeping our focus on? We're keeping it in the Lord Jesus. When Peter was told by the Lord, when he was walking out on the water, he said, if that be you, Lord, bid me come out of the boat. So he started walking, okay? He started walking on the water. You've heard this before, but just to drill home the point here, he was perfectly in the will of God. And as long as he had his eyes on the Lord, he was walking on the water, okay? Now, he didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost then, but it was a demonstration of how much the Lord controlled even the natural elements. And he rebuked him. Why did you doubt? He wasn't converted yet. But as long, even in his present state, as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord, he'd have been walking on the water.
Right.
Amen? So we need to not have any human faith. We need the faith of the Son of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Huh? Let me read it this way. This is International Standard Version. I think this probably... I love the King James Version. Don't get me wrong. This is what I study. This is what I read. This is what I have my devotions, King James Version. But sometimes you need a little bit different way so you can understand clearly what that text is saying. So let me put it this way. By faith, we understand that time was created by the Word of God. So that which is seen was made by things that are invisible. Okay? The invisible made the visible. Okay? And which also is true is that the invisible controls that which is visible. Everything that you see with your eyes is controlled by that which is not seen. And it can be from either dimension. It can be from God, or it can be from a demonic realm. Okay? And flesh and blood is no... it doesn't have a chance against the Spirit, right? Okay. So, there is a reality beyond this dimension right here. These are just shadow lands that we're walking in right now. But this is still the area that God has ordained that His Word is going to be tested, and He's going to be tested in me, and He's going to be tested in you. Amen? And He's going to reign supreme. The bride of Jesus Christ will triumph over the devil. He won't listen to the lies of the devil. God is proving to the devil that she isn't like Eve. She isn't going to listen to his lies. She's not going to be taken in by his lies. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season and a time and a purpose under the heaven. Everything is ordained, if you would. It's ordained. Isaiah 14:24 says, the Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. It's fixed. Nothing is going to change the will of God. Amen? Proverbs 16:4 says, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. It's for this purpose that he raised up Pharaoh, that he might show forth his might, his strength. Pharaoh was not a challenge for God. Pharaoh was not an obstacle for the children of Israel when it comes to them being delivered out of the land of Egypt. If you would, God was toying with Pharaoh. You should hear the reports when the Israelites were coming into the land. Oh, we heard, you know, say all the inhabitants of the land, the things that happened in Egypt by their God, right? Everything by him and for him. He has a purpose in all things, and he's in control of all things. We must never fail but put our faith in the unshakable word of God. Amen. There are people in this world that think they are powerful. They think they can pull the strings that cause things to happen in the world. And undoubtedly they do pull strings. They make things happen in this world. But they think they're the ones. It's by their thought process and their prowess and their power and so forth. They don't realize that as they're pulling strings, there's someone else pulling their strings. Okay? I ran across something. I thought this was interesting. And again, it's a little bit of a side note here, but not really. Because see, everything by Him and for Him, and so keep that in mind. Keep that in mind as I read this. On September 17th in 1973, they released a report. This is the Club of Rome. Okay, they released a report called "Regionalized and Adaptive Model of the Global World System," which was prepared by directors, and it gives names here of different ones. I could tell you what they are, but it wouldn't mean anything. But I want to pull out of here is that this revealed the club's goal of dividing the world into 10 political/economic regions. Isn't that interesting? I find this very interesting. North America, Western Europe, Eastern Europe, Japan, rest of developed world, Latin America, Middle East, rest of Africa, South and Southeast Asia, and India. The same plan was published in the Club of Rome book called Mankind at the Turning Point. The solution of these crises can be developed only in a global context with full and explicit recognition of the emerging world system and long-term basis. This would necessitate, among other changes, a new world economic order and a global resource allocation system. What does that mean? They want to reallocate everything. They want a new system because these problems are really bad. Oh, I'm sorry, they're not bad enough. Well, here, let's make them worse so that you understand we need a new system here. Okay? So this is all about power. And they think, we've got this all figured out here. We think we've got a great plan here. We're going to split the world up into 10 regions, and we're going to have certain individuals over each one of those regions. And they're going to have power, right? Right? Okay? Oh boy. In Revelations chapter 17, 12, you can turn there if you want to. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have no kingdom as yet, but they shall receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. They don't realize, but they're actually fulfilling Scripture. Now, why is that? 16th verse, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. Well, we know who the whore is, right? That's the Catholic Church, right? She's going to want to head up everything. In fact, the Pope has said that when they do set up this new global order, they want to be the moral arm. They want to be the spiritual arm of it, okay? These shall hate the whore, and they shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. Verse 17, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will, right? And to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God be fulfilled. See, the Lord even uses the wicked. He rises up the wicked for the day of evil. The Lord is in control of everything. We have nothing to fear. This is exactly according to what God had planned from before the foundation of the world. Amen? And it goes on and it talks about how, you can read on to 18, I will, just for the sake of time, I will pass over that. How her destruction will come, and how God will judge her. So there's a destruction coming, and it's a burning. And that this destruction is planned for the wicked. Okay? But for the righteous, not so. Remember one time I was I was in Tucson during the December meetings. This is years ago. And I was at a tender age of about 19. I was in the Marine Corps. And I was just filled up with just the enthusiasm, you know, just coming new into the message and just hearing so many tremendous things. And of course, Brother Perry, as his ability is, he gets up there and he starts, you know, talking about Acts of the Prophet, and he talks about, you know, just showing the events and everything. And he lays out very clearly, of course I knew it too, very clearly how that California is going to slide into the ocean. And here I was in the Marine Corps, and I was stationed in Barstow, California. That's where I was. And I came there to Arizona for the December meetings, and I had to go back to Barstow, California. Okay, and so you can imagine what was going into my mind. Here I'm together with all these saints. We feel, oh, just the presence of the Lord. It's so strong. It's so wonderful. We're just basking in the Lord. And I've got to leave this wonderful atmosphere, and I got to go back to a place that is, it's going to be judged by God. And I was concerned. Naturally, I was concerned. I say, well, you know, brethren, I got to go. God bless you, but I'm going back to California, so keep me in prayer. And then a brother, of course, Brother Derek's not here. This brother here, Brother Andy Strevens, I'll never forget him. He's just a lovely brother. And he turned to me, he said, Brother Greg, don't worry. He says, the righteous shall never perish with the ungodly. Amen? And so that meant so much to me, just that word, just that encouragement. Where do you get that from? Genesis 18:23, if you want to read it, you can turn to it. This, of course, when God had just told Abraham his plans for Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? And Abraham drew near, and he said that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And naturally, he was very concerned with that. So Abraham drew near, and he said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now, it's interesting. He's very concerned about that. He's very concerned. He was concerned even of the nature of God. He had to check the Lord. You won't do this thing, will you? If you find 50 righteous, will you actually destroy the city? And you know the story. The Lord assured him, if I find 50 righteous in that city, for the sake of those 50, I will not destroy that city. And you know where he goes? He goes down to 45, and then 40, and then 30, and then 10, you know. And he said, even if I find 10, verse 24, peradventure 50, yeah, I'm sorry, 27. Anyway, if I find 10, he says, for the sake of those 10, I will not destroy the city. Okay, so obviously, God could not even find 10 in that city, all right? And so it will be here in the world where there's going to be a small amount of people. There's not enough to save the world, if you would. God has got a purpose. He's got a purpose, and his purpose is this. He's going to so dwell a group of people, so much so, they're going to be so much like heaven, they can't stay on earth. They're going to be translated, if you would, into his very presence. And the Bible tells us that will hinder, that's the Holy Ghost, until he, the Holy Ghost, in the bride, is taken out of the way. At that time, then, judgment will strike the earth. Amen? Amen. Amen. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, and I found this really fascinating. Isaiah 3:8 says, For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. Verse 10. So we're talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. But to the righteous, verse 10, say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. The wicked will be punished, the righteous shall be preserved. That's always been it throughout the Bible. The wicked will be punished, the righteous shall be preserved. Further in the Bible, it talks about who 2/3 of the inhabitants of Israel shall be killed. When Gog and Magog and all of them coming down, you know, and they surround the borders up to the border, they're coming on in, and they wreak havoc and they do horrible things. You think the Lord would stop them right there at the border? No, He doesn't. Why doesn't He? Because there's wickedness right there in Israel. There's a lot of people, unbelievers. They're not part of the righteous, and the Lord is wiping the land, if you would. It says that 2/3 of them will be killed. 2/3. Zechariah 13:8, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, 2/3 therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. Verse 9, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call in my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. See that? Refining, taking all the foolishness, all the things that distract, all the other things that they may think are so important in their life, right? He's refining them. He's refining, knitting their hearts as one with His. Amen. Amen. And the Lord is doing the same with the bride of Jesus Christ. The Lord has ways of purifying His people. Amen. Isaiah 4:2 states, in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. See? Escaped. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Israel and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. So all the ones that survive that, if you would, they're going through a purification process, if you would. And the purification process is that they are ones that believe in Jehovah. They believe in God. And of course, it's where too that the Lord Jesus is going to reveal Himself to them. Amen? Okay? One thing we know with our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. And what is one thing we know for sure about the devil? And that is, he's a liar. Right? And everyone that he uses speaks lies. They are his tongue. Right? They don't speak the truth. So always keep that in mind. The devil is a liar. He never speaks the truth. His whole purpose is to pervert and change what history was, right? Because he wants a different end. Nope, Jesus didn't die in the tomb. He was stolen away by his disciples. Or, no, he didn't actually die. They fed him something, and then when he awoke, and he went somewhere up in Europe, and he died, you know, later in life. See? Blatant lies. Now, why are they trying to do that? For one purpose is Satan doesn't care. You know, he'll either push you or pull you as long as he keeps you away from the truth. Because Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Okay? So one group, the Jews, they stole his body because they don't want you to believe that he resurrected. And there's another group, the Muslims, they want you to believe that he never died. Right? See? So it doesn't matter which side of the fence you're on, it's still a lie, it's not the truth, and it's only the truth that will set you free. Amen? And the same thing that they're doing with the scriptures, they have done it the same way ever since the beginning of time. And the same thing that they're doing too with the message of the hour. They're trying to discredit it. They're working overtime, even before, you know, so many of the eyewitnesses, and I didn't bring it tonight, I wish I did, of the things that God has done in this day. They said it didn't happen. All the things that they do, they nitpick and they pick at you know, Brother Branham's flesh, Well, that's silly. I'm not looking at Brother Branham's flesh. You know, there's no salvation in Brother Branham, right? He didn't want anybody to look at his flesh. He says, I'm a mess. You know, I believe he was a very godly man. I believe he had a godly life. I believe he walked the walk. I believe that he lived what he spoke. I believe all that. But I know he's full of mistakes, just like everybody is full of mistakes. You know, I misspeak, you all know that. And, you know, it's very common for men to say things, you know, and if you put your confidence in the flesh, you're going to stumble every time, because the Bible says, cursed is he who leaneth upon the arm of flesh. What do we look to? We look to the Word of God. Amen? Amen? And we believe that we've been given a Word in this day, and this Word that illuminates the Word of God. There's so many things that have been illuminated, so much so that we might even take them for granted. And we'll get into that here in just a little bit. Yeah, well, I'll just leave that for the sake of time. So Satan doesn't change his tactics. If he can't disprove it, he'll smear. Okay? And we know this, that those, interesting, that one sin that is really pulled out, it says those liars will be thrown into the lake of fire. Those that are used as mouthpieces, if you would, for the devil, they'll be thrown into the lake of fire. God hates a lying tongue. He always wants to speak the truth. Always speak the truth. Speaking the truth in righteousness, speak the truth in love. It matters very much how we convey the truth, right? The Bible says there's he that speaketh as the piercings of the sword. You can cut somebody with the truth, right? We're not supposed to do that. But with the godly, I'm trying to think of the verse here, but there's life, see? Just handling the Word of God in love, speaking the truth in love. Amen. Jesus said, you shall know the truth shall make you free. Brother Branham said, I'm obligated to a message. There's not another ministry known since the time of Christ that had the kind of miracles and everything that the Lord did through the ministry of William Branham. Was that to make Brother Branham a great man? No, it wasn't. It was to draw our attention to what it was that he was pointing to. He wasn't sanctioned by any denomination. There was no group that was, and I say group, organization that was sponsoring him. He was walking by faith. And he had one thing to do. He wasn't trying to bind you to another group or another denomination. He was trying you to join you to one, and that was Jesus Christ, the Word. Amen? He says, we commit ourselves to you for the service, for latter-day lights, for the evening time lights, that we might bring consolation and faith to the waiting people that's waiting for the coming of the bridegroom, to dress a bride in the gospel of Christ for the Lord Jesus to receive. See, that's what he is for. Amen? We are benefactors of what was brought, right? I'd sure like to know with all these people, the detractors, what are they going to do? I really like to know. We know who the great whore is. We know who her daughters, the harlots, are. We know what they are. We know what the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is. There's not another name under heaven whereby men must be saved, the Lord Jesus. Amen? These are all things that we're benefiting from. We know that the Trinity doctrine is false. We know that it is a Catholic dogma. Furthermore, they're going to use that doctrine to bind everyone else. I just heard the Pope, and again, forgive me for repeating myself, but for those maybe who haven't heard this before, he said everyone that is going to be baptized in titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they know that that is their baptism. So if they're baptized that way, then they're our brothers. See? And because he said, the Bible says, by one Spirit, one baptism, you know, the body of Christ. And we know that that one baptism is not talking about water baptism, it's talking about baptism of the Holy Ghost. But he's using that to find common cause to be able to bind everybody together back underneath the mother. Just binding them together. There's so many things that we know. We know, for instance, here's a good one. This is very, very common. We understand what the serpent seed is. What's significant about that? It's not angels pressing themselves into flesh that they can take to themselves the daughters of men and have offspring. That's how ludicrous is that. We know that the sons of God, the Bible doesn't say that there any angels are sons of God. Show me in the Bible where it says angels are sons of God. They're not. But I can show you in the Bible where it says Adam was a son of God. I can show you there, you know. And I can show you too that clearly that the sons of God, the lineage of Seth, if you would, Adam, were the sons of God, saw the daughters of men, the lineage of Cain, and they took to themselves wives. Those two lines are intermixed, and it created all the havoc, that trouble that they had in the world, and then the Lord had to destroy it with a flood. Amen. I'm going to just wrap it up here. There's so many things that I was going to get into, but it would kind of... I just want to concentrate on one thing, and the point is this. We can get into the problems and the troubles that are out there in the world. I'm going to make a little public announcement while I'm here. Vitamin D. Guys, just take vitamin D. You'll be just fine. You need 10,000 units daily, and you'll do just fine. Okay? All right, there's a lot of lies out there because they're trying to bring everything under subjection, under control. That's what it's all about, control. We want to be under control of one thing, not under control of men. We want to be under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that it is life-giving. And regardless of what happens, don't put your trust in anything. Don't put it in a bank account. It's not going to be there for you. Don't put it in anything else, but in put your trust in the Lord. He'll make a provision for you. How is that going to happen? We've seen it through the scriptures. We've seen it in the life of Brother Branham. We've seen it even in saints around the world. Did you hear about this one sister who was in India and how that she had this crock of meal, flour if you would, and she would dip into it, and she would pull from there. And every time she would go back to it, it might have been rice, so I'm sorry, but I don't remember exactly. But the whole point is she'd go back to it, and it was full again. And the Lord was providing for her. She's very, very poor. And the Lord was showing, because she had faith, God was making a provision for her. If we thought about it, we could probably tie every manifestation of the promise of God from the Word of God to another happening. Maybe somebody you know that God has done something supernatural for. I know of a brother and a sister who were stuck in town. They didn't have any money, and they needed money in order to pay for the car payment and so forth. They went for a walk. And as they were walking along, a sister shot out and she found a baggie in a mud puddle. She reached down and she says, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you." "What is it, honey?" "This is Brother Ted Pasedley. Anybody know Brother Ted Pasedley?" "Okay, Sister Laura back there." She opened it up. "What you got, honey? I want to see." Open it up, and in that baggie was a bunch of rolled 100s. You know, a bunch of bills in there. It was enough to make the payment, enough to put gas in their van, and to get them out of town. Another saints, too, that I knew, this is in El Paso. They didn't have enough money to make their bills, and they prayed. And they had no idea where it was, and they had their Bible here. "Lord, you said you'd meet all of our needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus." And they closed their Bibles, and they went to bed. You know, "Lord, I don't know how we're going to make these bills." They got up the next morning, and as they opened their Bible, there was money right in the pages of God's Word. And his, not only hers, but in his as well. And they had sufficient to make the obligations of those bills. How is it going to happen, saints? The Lord is more than able to meet our needs. We may have to speak our food onto our table. We're not going to fear anything. Blessed is he who puts his hope, his trust in the Lord. Amen? Amen? So what is it? In the secret of his pavilion, he'll hide us. That's our hiding place. Laura, good to see you. God bless you back there. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads if we would. If the musicians would come. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful that your promises are yea and amen. Lord, so many, many, many things, Father, that we've heard. We know, Lord, that you manifest yourself. We know that your word is true. We know that your word does not come back to you void. We know that you're accomplished, that you absolutely moves in accordance with your will. What does it say? It accomplished in the thing wherein you have purposed. It'll prosper in the thing wherein you've sent it. For so goes forth your word. Yes, Lord, your word is higher. Your ways higher than our ways, and your thoughts higher than our thoughts. But we're so glad that we don't have to rely upon our understanding, but we put our trust in the living God. Bless each one here, Lord, I pray truly. Help us all, Father, to enter right in, Father. Just lay aside the sins that doth so easily beset us. Don't let anything, O God, throw us aside, discourage us. We know that flesh and blood does not inherit eternal life. Oh, I lost my temper. Oh, what thoughts went through my mind. We can't help the birds that fly overhead, but we sure don't have to have them make a nest in our hair. Cast down every thought and bring it under the obedience of Jesus Christ. That was help us, Lord, to fight the good fight of faith. Grant it, Lord. Father, we ask this in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I was wondering if we could try Zion's Hill. Do we know that one? Y'all know that one? "There waits for me a glad tomorrow." We all know that, right? Okay. "There waits me. A glad tomorrow, where gates of pearl swing open wide." Let's stand to our feet, can we? Amen. "And when I pass this veil of sorrow, I'll camp upon the other side." Amen. "Someday beyond the reach of mortal care, someday God where and when, and wills of mortal eye shall all stand still, and I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill. Someday the shadows of the tomb, and all the bells of heaven sing now, and saints are singing, home sweet home, amen, Lord, hallelujah. Someday beyond the of mortal care, someday God only knows just where and when the wills of mortal life shall all stand still, and I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill. Someday my labors will be ended, and all my wanderings will be yours, and our broken ties be mended, and I shall sigh and weep no more. Amen. Clouds will be lifted, amen, and all the night of gloom be past, and all life's burdens will be met. Yes. The day of rest shall dawn. Amen, everybody. Amen. Someday beyond the reach of mortal care, someday God only knows where, and when the will of mortal musician just play just quietly. I just want to open it up just to prayer. If anybody has a need, they want the saints to gather around and pray for them concerning anything. I believe the Lord is here. I believe the Lord is present, that He is more than able, more than desirous to touch a body, to answer a prayer. Amen. Laura, want to come up here? Thank you. Okay. What's his name?
Mark.
Okay. 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 All right. So, what? Exploratory surgery. Okay. Okay. Amen. Thank you. All right. So just to repeat it for those who didn't hear what she was saying, Laura's got a friend, Mark, who lives down in Iowa, and suspects that he's got cancer of the kidney. And so they're going to perform, I guess, do a biopsy. I guess what that would be. They take some tissue out to examine it and so forth. And so we just want to lift him up in prayer. And so we want to do that. And anyone else got a prayer request at all, or something that you want the Lord to touch you or at all? Oh, Brother Alfred? Amen. Amen. You know, the Lord came to help not the strong, but the weak. Amen. And Brother Alfred, just praying for strength. And I think we all can ask that too. Sometimes bodily strength. Maybe our minds, we're fighting brain fog. Maybe we're struggling for words sometimes that had been there before and now you've misplaced them. And even weakness of your spirit. Sometimes it feels like maybe you don't feel like you can press through the day. I want to say right now that that's a lie of the devil. And never to go by feelings. Feelings will lie to you every time. And you just need to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, even when you don't feel like it. And it's not enough to know that Satan is a liar. You've got to tell him audibly, Satan, you are a liar. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Any prayers? Anyone? Okay. Let's just take these to before the Lord. Lord Jesus, we indeed are thankful. You are a prayer-answering God. Lord, you are so pleased when your children come to you in faith and lift these things up to you. You said, because without faith, it's impossible to please you, Lord. Faith coming to you, believing, brings a smile, Lord, to you. We honor you, Lord, when we come by faith. And so, Lord, we lift up this man in Iowa. We don't know him, don't even know if he's saved. Father, above all, Lord, we pray for his soul. We pray that he would know you. We pray that even in these final hours, I understand he's 65 years of age. We don't know how much longer, how many more years you'd give to him on earth. Father, we pray that he come to know you, and above all, give his heart and life to you and know you truly as his Lord and Savior. Grant it, Lord. And Father, even where he's at, we pray you are the God that healeth all of our diseases. By your stripes, Lord, we are healed already. And so we're claiming a healing touch for Mark down there in Iowa, Father. Just, I pray, even when they do a biopsy, may they find nothing. May he be completely well, Lord, we pray. By your touch, for your glory and honor, Lord, we ask it. And for Brother Alfred and for others who are maybe feeling weak in body, fighting physical ailments, different things, Lord, we confess that, Lord, you are our healer. You are the God that healeth all of our diseases. And you are over all, Lord, and there's nothing too great for you, nor too small that does not that gets by your attention, Father. And so, Lord, we lift these things up to you, Father, believing, we know without a doubt, Lord, that your word is true, And Father, it will do exactly. You say, whatever you ask in my name, believe that you receive it and you'll have what you ask. And so, Lord, together, collectively, there's more than two or three here. We're agreeing, Father, with this for this request. This we ask humbly, Father, through the blood of Jesus Christ. We ask it. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Brother Peter, want to come up here and close in a word of prayer? Dismiss everybody. Thank you all, my dear saints.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, Lord, that we can come and have this oasis, a time of refreshing in your spirit, Lord. I can certainly identify with Brother Alfred speaking, Lord. It seems like Wednesdays are, by the end of the workday, are probably the most tiresome day for me, Lord. And yet I know when I come into your presence that it's without fail, Lord. I feel the stimulation of revelation and just that energy comes. And Lord, breaking through the realms of this world into other realms, Lord, gives a brand new energy. And just thank you for that visitation tonight once again.
Thank you, Lord.
Ask that you just quicken your words into our hearts and into our lives and walk with us as we go out and the rest of this week. Bless each one. Go with each one, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Let's take the name of Jesus with us. Amen. With you. Take the name of Jesus.